Greetings to each one. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again this morning. Trust we have our cups turned upward to receive. Just thinking about the couples, the home meetings, and church this morning, I suppose you have some more space in your cup. Before we go any further, let's stand for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you just now. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity of being in your house again this morning. I do pray that you would open the windows of heaven, shine upon us, into our hearts, Lord. Just pray that you would help me to be a mouthpiece, bring to those things to my mind that you would have me to share, and trust that can be an encouragement to each one. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm just trying to think a little bit how to start here. Maybe give you a little bit of a what inspired the message. I guess I will say I did preach this at Peace 2 weeks ago, so it's going to come out a little different here. Did a little more digging and studying. I guess Jerry. Is Jerry here?
He just stepped out.
Okay. This is the part that I was wondering if I should share or not. But we were invited over to Jerry's house the other Sunday evening. I see Satchel here. He was there. And Leah's grandfather was there. And it was a blessing to interchange and discuss spiritual things with him. And I guess the thing that got my attention was he talked about what he does every morning. He prays, and in his prayer, he asks for every part of the spiritual armor to be put on him, basically. I didn't ask Jerry if I may do this, but I've taken the liberty to speak on the spiritual armor that your wife's grandfather talked about. So I was debating if I should share that or not, but it was a blessing and stirred my thoughts. As he was sharing, I said, that's material for a message. And then he gave us the liberty. He said, go ahead, use it. And so I took the liberty to do that. So it's going to be on spiritual armor. I guess the title is Your Armor On? Is Your Armor On? And I guess Leonard's message last Sunday, maybe somebody, I guess, now we're stretching a little bit. What was the title of the message last Sunday? Somebody remember? Okay. I had to do the same thing. I knew it was when Leonard was sharing, I already had planned to share this message. I thought, well, I guess we'll just get another different way to look at some of the same things. What is the war of the soul? Well, needless to say, I believe we're all agreeing that we're in a war. So I think it's right for us to think about our armor. We're in the war. Just to start with, to give us a little perspective, give another picture. Let's go to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17, and I'd like to look at a man that was loaded with armor. And maybe you guessed by now who that is. Samson. Samson. Why do I say Samson? Goliath. Goliath. So let's read beginning in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, how tall was Goliath? 6 cubits and a span. 9'4", okay. His head probably reached the top of that board. 10-foot wall, I think, in here. So, can you picture the size of Goliath? Now, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. 5,000 shekels of brass. How heavy? How heavy was it? I had to do a little research. Got a couple different answers, but how heavy do you think it was? Just what he had on. Can you picture having clothing or armor on that weighed 90 to 125 pounds. We're just trying to give a little bit of perspective of what an armed man, what Goliath looked like anyhow. 90 to 125 pounds. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs. He had armor. I don't think his coat of mail included what was on his legs. And the target of brass between his shoulders. The target of brass was another piece of armor, which was around the neck. If you can get that picture. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. Weaver's beam was about 2 to 2.5 inches around. And the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. 15 pounds just for the head. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you. Let him come down to me. And we know the story. For now, I just thought I would bring that picture into our minds of Goliath. Now, the Israelites had coats of mail too. It says that Saul had. But just the picture of somebody covered and 100 pounds. Can you imagine how thick it was? Yes, he was tall, but a very intimidating thing for the Israelites to look at and say, who is going to come up against him? Part of the reason for looking at Goliath is, now let's carry that to us and our spiritual opponents. They will look intimidating at times as well, okay? And I guess the other thing I'd like to say is our opponent is real. He's well-versed in battle. And I believe Goliath was too. He's large, well-covered for the most part. So, the question is, do you have your armor on? Now, where is that found? Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go there. So, do you have your armor on this morning? Do you have your armor on? I see some heads nodding. Okay? That's good. But I don't see it. Okay? So you got the picture. The battle that we are in is not a physical battle, but it's a spiritual one. So we have our armor on. Let's just let it be a challenge to us. Let's read Ephesians 6, verse 10 and through verse 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Just stop reading there. It's not the end of the sentence. But. So, we are in a warfare. And it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. And these are in high places. We have an enemy that is real. There are two kingdoms. We had the Philistines and the Israelites coming out to war against each other. We have a spiritual battle, Satan coming against us. There's two kings. Two kings, two kingdoms. Both of those kings want our allegiance. God wants our allegiance, but Satan wants to pull us from God. So, later in the message, we want to look at what are some of the fronts that we are fighting. We want to look at Satan's wiles, the wiles of the devil. But first of all, let's take a look at the armor. We're in a warfare, we said. We have a banner that we're under. There's rules to follow in the war, in the kingdom. it says here to take on, put on the whole armor of God. Can we leave any part of the armor off? It says put on the whole armor. The other part I'd like to notice is put on. That's something active on our part. We need to put on the armor. Another part that is ours is to stand. We get the armor on, we need to stand. We need to stand our ground, keep our ground, stand our, withstand is another word. Withstand in the evil day. We're not backing up. We're standing, we're moving forward. And I like the picture of fully armed, but what's on the back? Is there any armor for the back? The warfare is made for going forward, not retreating. We turn around, the enemy has us. So, be strong, stand. Put on the whole armor and stand. James 4 says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay, let's now look at the pieces of armor. Put on the whole armor. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Loins girt about with truth. Your loins is your midsection. Girt about with truth. To gird up, there's another verse that says, gird up the loins of your minds. When a person of the Old Testament times wore a robe that went probably down to the feet, and when they went to battle, they would take the tail of their robe and swing around both ways and tie it above their waist so that they were ready for action. So gird up. That's the picture of girding up. Gird up your loins with truth. And it was like, when that was around you, it was like a girdle. I like to think about that. A girdle protects what's inside, keeps things where they ought to be, and also it's a protection from something from the outside. So our loins gird about with truth. Another thing I would like to say here, now that I'm getting into the armor here, the focus is on not the piece of armor, but what it represents. The important thing is truth, not that I have something around my midsection. Loins gird about with truth. Truth is something that we need. Truth is our strength. We need to be striking a clear line, the plumb line of the word. Next is the breastplate. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. There again, let's look a little bit. A breastplate would cover the heart, the vitals, and another important piece of armor. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Going too far here. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. So there's another place where armor is talked about, but the breastplate and the helmet are mentioned. Breastplate of faith and love. And this, in Ephesians here, it speaks of the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. Something to protect us. And that righteousness is not our righteousness. It's God's righteousness. Yes. I guess you could look at it both ways. Not self-righteousness, anyhow. But it is living a right life. The next piece we have here is your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's one I've always wondered, what does the preparation, what are we putting on our feet? Are we putting the gospel on our feet? It says we are shod with a preparation of the gospel. I guess there's two ways to look at it. The one way is, and it fits with what the Hirschs had to share about sharing the gospel. Put the gospel on our feet. The other way that I would like to look at is that preparation would be the condition of the person because of the gospel. In other words, because of what the gospel has done to me, my life has been changed. Then I am prepared to go. It's another way to look at it. Both fit. But I like to think about it that way. Preparation is, and something in the feet, firm-footed stability, a promptness and a readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. A readiness produced by the gospel. We're ready to go. We're ready to give the gospel. But the gospel has changed me first. Another version says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Thinking about readiness to fulfill what God has for us, I had to think of Moses. Moses wasn't prepared to lead the children of Israel till he had gone through the God's school, put it that way. David was not ready to face Goliath without, he wouldn't have been able to face Goliath without that time with God, without being in communion with God. David was a man after God's own heart. So, preparation of the gospel of peace. Condition of the purpose or thing so far as preparedness or readiness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thinking about that gospel of peace, what does it do to us? It brings a solidness, a steadiness to us. And I believe it helps us to be ready for combat. A peaceable and a quiet mind, not easily provoked, walking with a steady pace. Talks about our walk. Now, to broaden the picture a little bit, another aspect of our feet, the enemies in time past would spread sharp objects in the path wherever the oncoming army was coming. And those sharp objects would injure the feet of the approaching army. How good are we if we have injured feet? Can we advance like we should? So, it says that Goliath had greaves of brass. Now, that was protection for the shins. But also, there was one of the pieces that they would put on was actually brass shoes to keep those sharp objects from doing damage. So, prepared. The preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16 says, "And taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." The shield of faith. Shield is something that is movable. Something that wherever the darts, arrows are coming from, can be turned that direction. Shield of faith. And the fiery darts, I had to think of the fiery darts being poisonous. Something that's poisonous. There were fiery serpents, and they were poisonous serpents. So fiery darts, I believe they were poisonous darts. The shield is a shield of faith, a solid belief in God, in Christ. Shield of faith, recognizing that He is God, He is in control, He's the one that's going to help us. As the darts come our way, we can ward them off. We are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. Somebody along the way gave me a picture of I think it was the Roman army, was hard to defeat. They would line up in rows and put their shields in a line. There was a row behind them that put their shields higher. I'm not sure if they had two or three rows, but they could almost walk right into the enemy lines just by lining up together. So that's a good picture for us as well. Let's put our shield to shield and let's advance against the enemy. That is a very important piece. Shield of faith above all. And take the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. We talked about allowing the gospel to change us. The helmet. Helmet is your head, right? Helmet is worn on the head. That is where your mind is. Helmet of salvation. One of the darts that could come our way is, are you really born again? The helmet of salvation. If we're clear, we know we have that on. We have salvation. That dart will not penetrate. Our hope in Christ. We know that it is because of what He has done that we are who we are. Yeah, it's the helmet of salvation. Salvation purifies our hearts, keeps us from defilement, and brings comfort to us. If we're not sure, there's trouble or unsureness. But if we are fully persuaded that I have salvation, it puts a trust and a rejoicing in Him, a confidence in Him. The next is the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And it also says, which is the Word of God. How important is the Word? Jesus, when He was tempted, said what? It is written. Can we do the same thing? Let's have the Word of God and hide it in our hearts so that when temptation comes our way, we can say, it is written. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. And now in verse 18, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This does not call this a part of armor, but it's part of spiritual warfare. It does not apply this one to a piece of armor. But prayer is the seventh one. And it fits well to put prayer here as part of the armor. Prayer is asking for help from outside of ourselves. We're not in this battle by ourselves. It's a battle against a power that is above me, and I'm calling for another power that's greater than myself to be in the battle with me. I guess there's something that I'm thinking about right now, and that is, when you picture two armies coming together, it was the one with the greatest strength. You get the picture. The one that had the most fervor was the one that won. Our battle is a little different. Yes, we need to be committed, but what does God say? Blessed are the meek. There's a help that we get from God if we are taking the lower road. If you follow what I'm saying. We're not proud when we go into the battle. We're not demanding. We're looking to God. And we are engaged in the battle. But we're part of an upside down kingdom. Our kingdom is not of this world. So we need to be humble, not proud. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Poor in spirit is another one that is mentioned there in Matthew 5. So the question is, do we have our armor on? Do we have all of the armor? Now, we looked at the armor. Who are we fighting against? Who are we fighting against? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. His strength is what's going to help us. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we're fighting against the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I did mention there's two kingdoms, and these two kingdoms are at enmity with each other. So there is tension, there's a battle. Now, I think I'm going to do, put the illustration on the board that Leonard had last Sunday. And we're going to use that same illustration in a little different way. But I think you'll be able to follow. Circle in the middle. Spirit. Soul and body. Let's turn to 1 John. Who are we fighting against? 1 John 2:15. This is, I'm not covering new ground, it's just refreshing us. And some of these I know I've shared before, but I thought I would do it again. It's not wrong to do something over again. We have body, soul, and spirit. We're a three-part being. And we said we are fighting against the devil. Okay, what does 1 John 2:15 says? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we're fighting against the world. Or the devil, if you want to call it that. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Devil sends something to our body, our flesh. Lust of the eyes. Our feelings. And the pride of life comes into us. We have fronts on all body, soul, and spirit. Okay, now let's turn to Matthew 4. Jesus was tempted. How many temptations was it that we have listed? Three of them. Can we see a pattern? The tempter came and said to him, if thou be the Son of Man, Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. Right here. Flesh, appealing to Christ's flesh. The second one, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. He shall give these angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Wasn't he working on his feelings? Second one, right into the soul. And the third one. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Where does worship come from? The center of our being, right? Our spirit. So, Christ was tempted in all three areas. Now let's go one more. Let's go to Genesis. Satan was tempting Eve. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, Genesis 3:6. The tree was good for food. See it? The body. Pleasant to the eyes, the senses. Soul. And to be desired to make one wise. Spirit. All coming from Satan. This is what went through her mind. And I believe it was stimulated by Satan. So, where's the battleground? Where's the battleground? Right here. Right here. Me. Body, soul, and spirit. That's... Another one that... List of three. What's the battleground? The flesh, the world, and the devil. You can look at it that way too, but don't necessarily fit into this illustration here on the board. So, that is where the battleground is, who we're fighting, what are his techniques, what are his wiles, he calls wiles. What is a wile? What is a wile? Somebody have a quick answer.
Schemes.
What was that again?
Schemes. A scheme to do something.
Okay, scheme. Yes, a scheme. What were you going to say?
Trick.
Right. Deceit. Craftiness. Trickery. So what are some of the devil's tricks? We need to be wise. To know, yes, be awake and alert. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are his wiles? And I'd like a little bit of feedback on this one too. What are some of Satan's wiles? What are some of his tricks? Yea, hath God said. Is this really truth? That's a real one.
He'll come as an angel of light.
As an angel of light. Okay. So why is an angel of light
looks spiritual?
Looks good. Looks appealing. Angel of light.
Important what I do with my body and my heart is what's important.
Okay. He's going to throw emphasis on the wrong, or it is important. Your heart is important, but the rest is too. So what is he doing? He's looking at partial truth, right?
Rock music with God's word in it.
Okay, mixture. That was talked about last Sunday. Mixing. Twisting scripture. He did to Jesus, didn't he? God will take care of you. You dash your foot against a stone, cast yourself down. Was that from God? No. Lamar. He didn't quote the whole thing, right? Dean.
For where we live today, the plot to the outer ring there, the subtle love of softening things, we live in a world of easy come, easy go.
We live in a world that it is attractive. Somebody in the back.
One of the lies is you can reap something different than you sow. So one thing reap another, that's what it is.
Okay. We won't reap what we sow. Would be one of Satan's lies, right? Mm-hmm. We can do it, it won't come back to bite us. Any others?
I guess in the case of Adam and Eve here, the devil was trying to tell Eve that she's actually missing something, and oftentimes he comes that way. If
right.
God is actually keeping something from you here, or you're missing out on something.
Right. You're missing out on something. I have a number of these here. Angel of Light. He also comes as a roaring lion. Maybe that one's not as... We know it if it's a roaring lion, don't we? But let's be careful. That lion might come... Well, it says roaring, so he's not going to come as a little kitten. But maybe we adopt a kitten that becomes a lion. Thinking of the parable of the soil. It says the wicked one comes and snatches the truth away. Another one that I had to think of, he is an accuser of the brethren. He will come with thoughts to us saying, are you really a Christian? Or if you're a Christian, why did you do that? And try to get us to spin out of control. Anybody else? Rudy.
Thinking of the accusing of the brother probably has more, it probably reaches more than just personal doubt by myself. But probably cast doubts in our mind about each other, having ill thoughts or that kind of thing that breaks down unity and peace and
right. So we have accuser of the brethren, meaning we think about others and their faults. And
sometimes when the mind it's really difficult to come back and think positively again about one another.
Right.
Solomon said, it's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves. That would be clear.
Should not be comparing ourselves among ourselves. So, do we have our armor on? Many different ways that the enemy comes. He has a lot of different wiles. One of the pictures I'd like to leave with you, another picture, is the enemy strikes when we're not ready. Maybe we laid our armor down. There's been wars, been attacks made on, and I don't know the details, but it's a holiday, and the soldiers are partying. Boom, the attack comes. Let's not be in that situation. We are in a warfare, and when do we take our armor off? When we're finished, when the war is over, right? That's a good thought. Okay, I'd like to look at some scriptures yet. Second Corinthians 10. Some encouragement, some challenges. Where is our warfare? Here is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For we walk in the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Casting down imaginations. I've seen that illustrated already. I think it was, I better not say, but somebody comes along, and here comes an imagination. You just wrestle him down, casting down imaginations, every high thing, anything that would pull us away from the knowledge of God. 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your mind. Get that long tail. Gird up is to be prepared for battle. So gird up those loose flowing things that would get in the way. Tie them around you and be prepared. Gird up the loins of your mind. First Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. Maybe I should turn to that one. First Peter 5. Context. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. One more verse. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 John 5 says, he that is born of God overcometh the world. Thinking about the Word of God. The Word of God is what? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Let's have the Word precious to us. I was just reading in Revelation, thinking about Jesus, when it gives a picture of Jesus in chapter 1. What did he have coming out of his mouth? A sword, which was the Word of God. Sharp sword coming out of his mouth. Matthew 26, verse 41. In the garden, Jesus said to his disciples, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So let's be in tune with God. Prayer is a, you could go a lot of different to a lot of different scriptures on prayer. But for the ending of the message here, let's go back to 1 Samuel 17, where we started. David and Goliath. It's a familiar story, but I'd like to just lift out some key verses. David was the one that said, yes, I will go against the enemy. And he was challenged by his brothers. And verse 29 says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There's the phrase, is there not a cause? Are we not? Do we have a cause? Yes. Is there not a cause? And then you could ask the question, what is the cause? What cause are we fighting for? Are we fighting for God, for his kingdom, and for his glory? I think that's important. So David was given Saul's armor, but he wasn't good with it. He said he had not proved it. We are to put on God's armor. And what here's the point that I'd like to make. What did David say when he met the Philistine? Verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. So in David's mind, who was getting the glory? The enemy was defying God. This day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thee to the carcasses, give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He wanted God to be the one getting glory. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. We're not in a spirit, in a fleshly warfare. The Lord saveth not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. But we need to engage ourselves in it. We need to take up the armor. And the Lord will help us. Because that's what I'd like to leave with you. Whether you get up in the morning and pray this armor on every day, that's up to you. But it was a blessing for me to look at this armor and to think about being in a battle and the need to be standing. Stand therefore, having on the whole armor of God. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So our Father in heaven, we come to you. At the close of this message, I do pray that you would help each one of us to be into the battle, to put on the armor, and then to stand and withstand the devil. Stand, therefore, having put on all these things. Help us to be awake and alert for all the wiles, the different ways that the enemy comes. Lord, in it all, we say the battle is yours. Help us to be in tune with you and victorious. Lord, we want to continue faithful until the end. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.